Tonight is שיעור שבילו לא נשמעת
אם בבת טובה.
אם בבת טובה, תהיה נשמעת הצורה וזה חיים, מגלנת יהיה מנוחתה.
Amen.
Tonight is Chet Tevet, the 8th of Tevet. Shabbat is the 9th of Tevet, and on Sunday is the Tzom Asara Betevet, the fast of the 10th of Tevet. Now, is it Megillat, something called the Megillat Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit is a lift of fasts. They used to fast. We're going back probably the 7th, 8th century in Eretz Yisrael. It's called Megillat Ta'anit. It tells you, Mechad ben Nisan metu b'nei Aharon, the two sons of Aharon died and they established a tzom, a day, a fast. The 10th of Nisan, Miriam HaNeviah dies. So they fasted. 26th of Nisan, Yoshua Ben-Nun died. And they fasted. List of fasts. That a list. Whole list of fasts. 26 fasts. It's called Megillat Ta'anit. The first place we saw it brought down was a sefer called Baal Halachot Gedolot. He lived in the 8th and 9th century. Wrote all the mitzvot. And in it he brings this list. It seems like this was a minhag, a custom, in Eretz Yisrael, 6th, 7th, and 8th centuries, to fast all these fasts. We don't have this custom. We've never seen anybody fast these fasts. But interesting, in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, I never saw anybody fast. I don't know where it comes from, but he still put it in the Shulchan Aruch. But within this list of fasts, it writes like this. B'shmona b'tevet, on the 8th of Tevet, tonight, nechteva ha-Torah yevanit. The Torah was written in Greek. B'met ha'imai ha-melech, in the days of King Ptolemy, u'bachoshech la'olam b'shlosha yamim. And because of that, darkness descended on the world for 3 nights. Now, I don't think it means physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. 3 days of darkness. That the Torah was translated tonight, Batayma Lamelech, and this causes Choshech to come down to the world for 3 nights. Now, so we know the story. There's two sources for this story. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah Daftet. Gemara says, Maaseh, there was a story. Betalmai HaMelech, Shekinesh 72 Zekanim. He gathered 72 of the elders of the Sanhedrin. Ve'echnisam b'72 batim. He put them in the 72 different houses, different rooms. Ve'lo gila lahem amakinsam. And he didn't tell them why he gathered them. Just gathered 72 elders, put them in separate rooms. Ve'nichnas etzel kol echad ve'echad. He went into every single room and told them. Ve'amar lahem, Kitvu li Torat Moshe Rabbechem. I want you to write down in Greek the Torah of Moshe Rabbein. Natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Belev Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Hashem put in the heart of every single one of them. Etza V'Hiskimu Kulam L'Da'at Echad. All 72 made changes to the Sefer Torah when they translated it to Greek. And they all 72 were Mechaven to the same exact changes. And here the Gemara goes and lists the 13 changes they made. I believe it was 13. Instead of translating Bereshit Bara Elokim, because there's two ways of reading it, especially when you translate it to Greek, it seems to say Bereshit, whatever Bereshit is, Bara Elokim, created Chas V'Shalom, created God, right? Yeah. So instead they wrote Elokim Bara Bereshit. And they all mechaven to the same thing.
Makes sense.
Right? Na'ase Adam betzalmenu kidmutenu, Pasuk says, let us make man. Mm-hmm. So we have many Pirushim explaining it, but the Greeks are going to use it against us. So what did Chachamim do? They all wrote, E'ase Adam betzalem ubidmut. I'm going to make man in my image. Right? He change it from plural to singular. These changes like this. So the good one give the Greeks fuel to attack us. They made, and all 72 were mechaven to the same exact 13 changes. That was the ness that happened here. But that's what happened. When did this happen? On the 8th of Tevet. Happened tonight. Now, in Masechet Sofrim, besides all of Shas, it's called Talmud Bavli, Masechtot Gedolot, if you want to call it that, there's a group of Masechtot Ketanot, small Masechtot, which didn't make it as part of Shas. For example, Avot de Rabbi Natan. You heard of Avot de Rabbi Natan?
Mm-hmm.
Avot de Rabbi Natan is from Rabbi Natan, who has, it's really on Sefer Avot, but it's not part of the Mishnah, it's an elaboration. It's called Masechet Ketana. So one of them is called Masechet Sofrim, which deals with the laws of writing, a Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, all these things. So in it, it writes, based on the Gemara here, En Kotvim, you cannot write a Sefer Torah. Can be the Ktav that you're writing a Sefer Torah can be Ktav Ivrit, can be a script, it has to be Ktav Ashurit, it has to be with the square letters. Then it says, Ma'aseh b'chamisha zekanim, was a story with five elders. Shekatvu l'taiman ha-melech et ha-Torah Yevanit, that they wrote to King Tommy the Torah in Greek. V'haya otu hayom kasher Yisrael, ki yom sh'na'aseh bo ha-egel. And that day was as difficult to the Jewish people as the day the egel was brought. שלא הייתה התורה יכולה להתרגם כל צורך. Because the Torah was not able to be translated fully. And שוב מעשה בתמי המלך, second story, שכנס 72 זקנים. Then he gathered second time around the 72. So both stories are brought here. But it was קשה כיום שנעשה בו העגל. It was difficult like the day the egel was made. So here, מגילת תענית tells me, ירדה חושך לעולם, 3 days of darkness. And here it says קשה, like the egel was brought that day. Let me ask you a question. What in the world is so bad that the Torah is translated? We have thousands of translations of the Torah. We have art scroll. We should fast the day art scroll was printed because they translated the Torah into English? A little bit maybe, yeah? What's the big asos? You made it accessible to those who weren't great Hebrew speakers, now they can read it in Greek. What's the big deal? What's the problem?
They were forced to do it, no?
They were forced, but it seems like the mere fact that it was written in Greek is the problem.
Isn't it Greek that you want to claim that they're Torah or something?
Oh.
But the Greek didn't claim that it's like their...
They made it a part of their... They knew it was part of it. They knew it was Torah. They incorporated it into Greek knowledge,
some
Greek
people,
wisdom.
Some people think it's the Torah has come to the Greek.
And more than the halacha is, you cannot write a Sefer Torah in any language, except what language can you write a Sefer Torah in?
Greek.
In Greek. What do we know this from? The Gemara says, Gemara Daftet Amud Bet Hi Megillah says, Pasuk says, Yaft Elokim LeYefet, Hashem gave beauty to Yefet, who is the father of Greece, VeYishkon BeAhol Hashem, and he will live in the tents of Shem. What part of Yefet is going to live in the tents of Shem, in the tents of the Jewish people? That's Greek, the language. That a Sefer Torah could be written in Greek and has Kedushat Sefer Torah. You write it in any language, has no Kedushah. It's a book. You write a Sefer Torah in Greek, it has the same Kedushat Sefer Torah as a Sefer Torah written in Hebrew. The Greek, real Greek language.
Al-Klaf
and everything else like that. All the laws of Sefer Torah, but in Greek letters. In Greek language.
There is some Sefer Torah in Greek?
Not that we have today, thank God.
But there was.
Yasu, yasu.
So it's written in Greek with 13 corrections?
There was. If we're going to write a Kasher Sefer Torah, it can't be written like that. It has to be written the way our Sefer Torah is written.
The other ones were written.
Those were written for the Greeks, so they shouldn't have ammunition to use against us.
Yeah.
But that's what happened on Chet. We'll go back to this question. But that's the question.
Well, Torah,
Chas v'shalom, not Rishona.
No.
Ava mutar lichtov Sefer Torah be-Greek. Betishabo. On the 9th of Tevet, Lo katvu rabotenu al ma. Ninth of Tevet also was a fast. Lo katvu rabotenu al mahu. Our sages did not tell us why. Ubasara betevet, in the 10th, bo samach belech babel Yerushalayim lachriba. That's when Belech Babel surrounded Yerushalayim to destroy it and put it somewhat up Matzor of Batzok, put a laid siege on it for a year and a half till he was able to breach the walls and destroy Yerushalayim and the Bet HaMikdash. Right? And that's the fast we're going to have on Sunday. That was Mefursam. That's fast we still have today. Arba Tzomot, the four fasts that we have today. So we have 3 days. The 8th is a fast because the Tzavet Torah was translated in Greek. The 9th was a fast. They didn't tell us why. And the 10th is a fast because of Bos Tabach Lele Yerushalayim. Now, let me ask you a question. The 9th, I mean, how do you ordain a fast and don't tell us why? Yeah. It's a pele. You know, fast, why? Kacha. 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 And 10th, we have a fast. Why? Because the Babylonians besieged Jerusalem. And he was able to breach the walls on the 17th of Tammuz, right? They laid siege on it. But the question that always bothered me is, we already have a fast, 17th of Tammuz, commemorating the fact that they breached the walls. And we have Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. I need a fast because they surrounded the walls? Yeah. I'm already remembering the event.
Every stage.
It's a pele. It's a bit of a wonder. What we establish a fast because they surrounded the walls. We establish a fast when they breached the walls. And then we have a fast and actually destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. What do I need Asara B'Tevet for? So all these three fasts need explanation. The 8th, that we translate Seder Torah into the Greek, what's the big problem? We have tons of translations, tons of commentaries on the Torah. According to some Targum, the Aramaic Targum, we received in Sinai. Targum Unkelos, that's on the side of the Chumash, that you see it. We have a tradition that we received from Sinai, together with the Torah. So we already have a Targum. What's the big deal? 9th, no idea. And the 10th, we also don't understand why we're fasting. Why in the world are we fasting this Sunday? Because they surrounded the walls. So let's see if we can understand what's happening here. So, when they translated the Sefer Torah into Greek, the Greeks loved wisdom. And they wanted to incorporate the Jewish wisdom as part of their wisdom. So Ptolemy the king commissioned the Chachamim to translate it for him. What's the big ason? What's the big calamity? You see, in every other language that we translate, we understand it's a translation. It's a pirush, it's a commentary, it's one way of understanding it. When you write it in Greek, that is a Sefer Torah. That is the Sefer Torah. That has Kiddushat Sefer Torah. The problem is, when you write it in Greek, there's the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh is every word has layers and layers and layers and layers of meaning. So when I'm reading it, I'm just touching the surface. There's so much depth and beauty there. In Greek, you just have the basic understanding, and you lost everything else. It's gone. So Torah became a shell, just an outer shell, an empty shell. A story, a translation, and that is Torah. And the depth and beauty is gone. So they basically, what the Greeks succeeded in doing is the vast majority of our Torah is, no, this is it. This book is it. This is your Torah. That's it. And the main part of the Torah is gone.
Not for them, not for us.
Yes and no. But it's a Sefer Torah. That's the difference. It is a Sefer Torah. You basically put the Torah and saying this is it and that's it. It's a shell. And all the depth and beauty is gone. So Chazal saw this as a great calamity. A churban of the Torah. Its connection is to Sinai. Connection to Matan Torah is gone. All you have is a story.
That was only for the Greek, not for us.
But because the concept that you can write a Sefer Torah in Greek and has Kedushat Sefer Torah, and yet it's just a shell.
But that's
that sense. Itself is a churban. Right, you understand the
idea is clear.
Who is allowing it?
We didn't have a choice. We were forced.
No. But you said
Tamay HaMelech.
You said that from the Torah we know that Hashem said it.
That is mutar, but this it was.
So why?
It was forced.
Mutar from the Torah.
We lost the Greek language. That Greek language that they had.
Was mutar.
If you knew that Greek language theoretically, it would have Kiddushat Sefer Torah. Is it recommended to do it? No, they fasted. They saw it as the biggest Qurban in Jewish history. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have Kiddushat Sefer Torah. Nobody's telling you to do it. Nobody wants you to do it. It was a Qurban that it was done. But it still has Kiddushat Sefer Torah. That's part of the Qurban.
So why Hashem say
that's
you
part
can
of the
do
destruction.
It? That's something that I don't understand. What? If it's something so bad, why Hashem say, why in our Torah he said that we can do it? You're permitted.
It's not that you're permitted, which means if something is written in Greek, it has Kedushat Sefer Torah. There's a beauty in Greek language that can convey a simple understanding of what the Torah has to say. But when all you have is the translation, the outer shell, you're missing the whole core. And they can proclaim and say, this is your Torah, and that's it. The rest of it doesn't exist.
It's not there because it's a different language.
It's gone.
As soon as they translate it,
it's gone. Torah is gone.
But they destroy the Hebrew Torah?
The Greeks wouldn't allow you to have it.
Oh, so they didn't allow
it's irrespective of whether they destroyed it or didn't destroy it. The mere fact that this is Torah and this exists is a Churban. That Torah can exist in such a state. Right? Make sense?
Yeah.
What happened on the 9th?
We don't know.
Lo amru rabotenu al mahu. But we know from ancient Shirim, we have a tradition that Ezra HaSofer died on the 9th of Tevet. Ezra HaSofer, who brought the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, established the second Beit HaMikdash, he dies on the 9th of Tevet. Now, okay, it makes sense that Ezra Sofer, Miriam HaNeviah, we have Bnei Aaron, you have Yoshua, so maybe Ezra Sofer is another day to commemorate. But why not tell me the day? Why not tell me the reason? Tell me, Asara B'Tevet, because Ezra Sofer died.
So there were not.
Why Lo Amru Rabotenu Al Mahu? Our sages didn't tell us why. Why not tell me it was Ezra Sofer?
Well, maybe not to be Moshe. There is many other people in our history that was very important. So it's they're going to consider as he's the most important.
But it's not true. We have a list of 26 people in history.
Do we fast for them?
The minhag was then to fast. We don't have this minhag anymore. We don't have minhag to fast on 9th of Tevet today either.
Yeah.
You cannot fast on the 9th and on the 10th too.
8th, 9th, and 10th. They used to fast the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. You eat at night.
Better.
That was the fast. That was the tzom. 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Come on, Ramadan.
So. And also, there seems to be a connection between all these 3 days. There's a connection between the 8th, and 9th, and the 10th. The question is, what in the world is the connection? So if you think about what happened on the 9th of Tevet, Ezra HaSofer, according to the Gemara, was Malachi. They're the same person. Malachi and Ezra Sofer were one and the same, according to the Gemara. Now Malachi was the last Navi. Malachi was the last Navi. So Ezra Sofer is Malachi, and he died on the 9th of Tevet. So that means Nevuah left the world on the 9th of Tevet. So on the 8th of Tevet, the Torah is kind of destroyed. Our connection to Ma'amad Har Sinai is kind of severed by having a Sefer Torah in Greek, and its connection, the depth and beauty of Torah is gone. And the 9th, we're mourning the fact that Nevuah left the world. Ezra Sofer, the last Navi, died. That's the Churban. Another remove. Not only the Torah was put in shackles, but now Hashem no longer communicates with the world.
Wow, this total disaster.
That happened on the 9th of Tevet.
8, 9,
and when did it happen, according to what we learned a few weeks ago? The day that Alexander became ruler of Greece was the day that Malachi dies.
Oh.
So you see that Greece is the one who brings about this Churban. They bring about the Churban of Torah, and they bring about the Churban of Nevuah.
So first the spiritual Churban, just come the physical Churban.
Then come the physical Churban. Now we ask, what happened on the 10th? On the 10th.
The Matzor.
There was laid siege, Matzor of Matzok, laid siege on Yerushalayim. We ask, what's the big deal? So if you look at Yerushalayim, during the first Beit HaMikdash, it was a city, it was Hashem's city. The city of the Beit HaMikdash was there. The Shekhinah rested on the Beit HaMikdash. There were 10 constant miracles in the Beit HaMikdash during Beit Rishon. Right? It's a city that's unified. It's Hashem's city. Literally. That you can lay siege on Yerushalayim is a sign that the Shekhinah has left Yerushalayim. So we're mourning on the 10th of Tevet. It's not the fact that they surrounded the walls. That we already commemorate Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, they breached the walls and breached the walls and the unity of Yerushalayim. But the moment that Melech Bavel can lay siege on Yerushalayim is a sign that the Shekhinah has left Yerushalayim. So that's what we're mourning. So if you notice, all these 3 days are focused on the same idea. The 10th, the Shekhinah leaves Yerushalayim. The 9th, we're mourning that the Nevuah left the world. And then the 8th, is the Torah, that connection to Ma'amad Har Sinai, is kind of put in shackles also. Put also by Matzor of Matzok, where all I have is a Greek understanding of it, and the depth and beauty is gone. So I'll say 3 days of Choshech. What's Choshech? Darkness, the lack of clarity and understanding comes down to the world. We lost our connection to the Shekhinah, to Nevuah, and to the Torah. These are 3 days. That starts tonight. But the question is, if they were trying to convey to us that Ezra Sofer died, why don't they tell us outright?
Yeah, why they say we don't know why?
So, a possible theory, because by us claiming that Ezra Sofer died and we're mourning because Nevuah left the world, what are we saying? Anybody who comes afterwards and prophesies and says, Hashem told me Muhammad or Yeshu comes and says, God spoke to me and said X, Y, and Z. One second. We have a day of mourning. That there's no more Nevuah. So how in the world did you get a Nevuah? So it could be they felt, keep it secret, we're safer. A possible theory.
Makes
it. Right? A possible theory.
What keep secret what?
That Nevuah left the world. Because we're saying we're mourning because there's no more Nevuah. So we're basically saying when Yeshu comes up and says, I got a vision.
Yeah.
He's a liar. Because we know Nevuah left the world. Muhammad comes up and says, I got a vision.
Yeah.
He's a liar.
Because
we know Nevuah left the world when Ezra Sofer died. So maybe it was best keep it secret. They didn't tell us why. Possibility. The problem is most Girsaot in the Megillah Ta'anit say like this. Betishabo on the 9th, lo katvu rabotun al mahu. Sages didn't tell us why. Ubo bayom met Ezra HaSofer. And that day Ezra HaSofer died. So it seems like there's two reasons why we're mourning 10th of Tevet. Because Ezra HaSofer died.
Ubo bayom.
That day Ezra HaSofer died. No, Ezra HaSofer died that day. So that enough is a reason to fast. But there seems to be another reason why we're fasting. But they didn't tell us why. Question is, why not? Why not tell me? So there's been different theories throughout history given to this Megillah Ta'anit. Why we're fasting and why it didn't tell us. So I'm going to skip to the more plausible theories. Right. So I'll show you one that is brought down. Is, I don't know, you heard of Shmuel HaNagid?
Shmuel HaNagid, yeah.
If we go to Spain and Granada, Shmuel HaNagid was the right hand man of the Sultan in Spain and Granada in the 11th century. When he dies, his son Yosef HaNagid takes over. Now Yosef HaNagid was also the right hand man of the Sultan. But the Arabs, he didn't have the same force of personality and fear instilled in the Arab diplomats. And they laid siege on Yosef HaNagid and they killed him. The Arabs. And when did he die? We have tradition. We know that he died on the 9th of Tevet. He was killed. But this happened when? In the late 1000s, right? Early 1100s. So, Megillah Ta'anit was written way before then. So, what we're going to suggest, the author of Megillah Ta'anit had a premonition that this was going to happen, and that's why he couldn't write it. Because if you wrote it, what would happen? Yosef HaNagid, his whole life, will be looking at what's going to happen to me today, right? But it's a stretch to say that Megillah Ta'anit had nevuah. Especially after the period of the while already left the world.
Yeah.
Right? He knew Yosef HaNagid was going to die. And why Yosef HaNagid more than anybody else? Plenty of other people died in history. We have early people, the people in Tanakh, I understand. But Yosef HaNagid was a good man, but he wasn't the greatest Gaon in Jewish history. And that was a theory. But a more plausible theory is presented by Sefer HaIbur. I brought you the cover page. Sefer HaIbur was, his name was Rav Avraham Baravchia. He lived also in Spain. He was a great philosopher. He was also an astronomer. And he was a great mathematician. And he writes like this. V'hu nolad divrehem. Yeshu was born according to the Christian account. Bishnat Gimal Alafim, the year 3000, Tafshin Samach Aleph. To our accounts, the year 3661, Lebriyat HaOlam, which is the year 3 BCE, the year 3 before the Common Era. Right? Be'esrim v'chamisha yamim b'chodesh December, on the 25th day of December. And he says he was an astronomer and a mathematician and knew was expert in the calendar. V'hu yom Shabbat, yom tish'a b'tevet. And it was on Shabbat, the 9th of Tevet. So he says, according to the calculations, that Yeshu was born on December 25th in the year 3661, which is the year 3 BCE, and according to our account, okay, 3 years before the year zero. So 2020 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Right? So December 25th and that year fell out on the 9th of Tevet. So according to the account, Yeshu was born on the 9th of Tevet. So according to the Sefer HaIbur, we can explain why are we fasting on the 9th of Tevet? Because Yeshu was born. Yeshu was born. And he caused one of the greatest calamities in Jewish history was caused by Yeshu. So we mourn the day of his death, the day of his birth. So but you can't write that.
We're celebrating Christmas.
Right, we can't write that in Christian, you know, even when the Megillah was written sometime in the Palestinian period in the 6th, 7th, 8th century, where it was the Byzantine period, right, which was Christian. You're not going to publicize that you're fasting the fact that Yeshua was born. Right? You're not going to score many points. So the sages didn't write. Why? But if you think about it, it also fits into the 3 days. Because Yeshua also destroyed Judaism. Because Yeshua started as a Jewish, Christianity started as a Jewish faith. It was Jews. Jews were Christians. And he taught Jews. His students were all Jews. So it wasn't Christianity yet, but it was a new philosophy of Judaism. And there were kofer and many tenets in the Torah. So the fact that we establish a bracha in Amidah, we say, Laminim velamalshinim al tihi tikva. Who are we talking about? The Jewish early Christians. What used to happen? We didn't want these Christians to be chazan. Get up there, you know, silent Christians, be chazan, be motzi da tzibur, and they're praying silently to who knows what. So Rabbi Gamaliel established that you have to say laminim. So they got together. So Rabbi Gamaliel was a nasi, and they asked Shmuel HaKatan, who was the greatest in the generation, to write the beracha, and they wrote the beracha. So this way, one of the reasons was to discern, to determine who's. So if the guy refused to be chazan, you knew he's not the guy. You don't want him. He's a Jewish Christian.
Yeah.
Because they had to say this Berachah Lamal Shinim, and they're not going to curse themselves in the middle of tefillah. Right? So that's a way of discerning who was a Christian, who was not. There were a real problem. So this is like Greek put to the Torah in a box, made a shell of itself. Yeshua, in some extent, did the same thing. Right? You don't have to keep this, you don't have to keep that, you can deny this, just do this. So it fits into the pattern of the 3 days of Chetet Yeteret. So it's a nice theory.
Yeah.
But there's a problem with the theory. What's the problem with the theory? The Sefer Yibud himself begins telling you the problem. If they're right, it is Tetevet. Aval en adam ma'amin lidivrehem ha'omrim aledat hataluy shehem yadu yomah. Shabbat of December. We don't believe the Christians because they claim that he was born on December 25th. Calls him the Talui, the one who was hung, right? Ki hadavar hazeh eino katuv lahem be'on gilyon, right? In their books, it's not written. Evangelicum, in their book, right? It's not written the day he was born. V'lo bechtav tamidei ha-machisim, not the students don't write the day of his birth. He says, where does December 25th come from? There was an ancient pagan holiday that started on December 25th. And that's why the Christians, when they started the holiday celebrating, so they pegged Christmas to that pagan holiday. And we learned about it, the source of that pagan holiday was really Adam HaRishon. He was the first one to establish that pagan holiday. It wasn't pagan then. What's the holiday? Remember we learned this in Avodah Zarah? Adam HaRishon, when he saw, I can read you the Gemara inside if you want, but we'll do it outside because it's late and people are going to go to sleep. Adam HaRishon, when he realized the days are getting darker and darker, he thought, I was nigzar alai mita, because I ate from the Etz Hadat, it was decreed on me to die. So Adam HaRishon says, that's it, this is the beginning. The days are getting shorter and shorter, darker and darker, until the world's going to go back to Tohu Vavohu, and I'm going to be gone. Reaches December 25th, the days start getting longer. When he recognizes the days start getting longer, so the Rebbe Rishon says, minhago shel olam ze. This is just the minhago, this is just the way the world is set up. This is just a season. And he made an 8-day celebration. Adam HaRishon celebrated 8 days, this idea that Baruch Hashem is not dying there. And the pagans is established chag. And the pagans borrowed from Adam HaRishon this holiday. She says they picked their holiday to December 25th. It's a random number they picked. Sefer Eibur writes. So it's not mistaber that they have any tradition that he was born on 25th, which is the 9th of Tevet. Who says they know? And more than that, so I want to bring you a source from them. One of the earliest people to describe, to write down, the Christian scholars to write the day of his birth, was Clement of Alexandria. He's one of the church fathers. You heard of Clement of Alexandria? He died in 215. Right? So he lived about 200 years after Yeshua's death. A little less, 150, 175. So he writes, and there are those who determined not only the year of Yimach Shemo's birth, but also the day. And the day that it took place was the 28th year of the reign of Augustus, who was Caesar of Rome. The 25th day of Pachon. Pachon is an Egyptian calendar. Pachon. The Egyptian calendar was used during the Roman period. It's the ninth month, is Pachon. I don't know where the new year starts exactly. But then he says, and the followers of a different group say, that it happened in a different year. The 50th year of Tiberius Caesar. On the 15th day of the month of Tybi, which is also an Egyptian calendar, it's the sixth month of the Egyptian calendar. Some say it was the 11th. And then he gives you another group say it was the 25th of Pamuthi. So we have, within Clement of Alexandria, the first one to write, it gives you four possibilities when he was born. All different months of the year. So even they themselves had no idea when he was born. Right? And then Musag. So, it's hard to say that our sages relied on some Christian guy who decided December 25th because it's convenient, it's tied to a pagan holiday, to make that's the day of, that's his birthday, that Chazal decided that must be the day we're going to peg it to it. So we need another explanation.
Okay.
So what happened on that day? So this part Yaakov remembers. Oh. So, on this Megillat Ta'anit, there's a commentary of a Baruch Frankel Teumim. Baruch Frankel Teumim wrote a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. He died in the year 1828. Not so long ago. And he writes like this. On the word Lo Noda, Lo Amru Rabbeinu Al Mahu, our sages didn't tell us why. He writes like this. Matzati b'chtav yad shebetet tevet, on the 9th of Tevet, niftar Shimon HaKalpos. Shimon HaKalpos died. Shehoshia et Yisrael b'tzara gedola. He saved the Jewish people from a great tzara. Bizman HaParitzim. And the day of the Peritzim, we have to see who the Peritzim are. And nikva yom mitato leta'anit olam b'Yerushalayim. And the day of his death was establishing Yerushalayim as a day of fast. Shimon HaKalpos. So who was he? And what did he save us from? And who are the Peritzim? So in reality, Shimon HaKalpos is not found anywhere in Shas. Not Bavli, not Yerushalmi, not in Midrash, not Rishonim. His name does not come up. There's only one place that his name comes up. And that's this Sefer here. This is called Sefer Toldot Yeshu HaNotzri. The book of Toldot Yeshu, the Notzri, the Christian. Now this is a Jewish account of early Christianity. We have our own version of what happened there. A Jewish account.
Okay.
Now, we don't know exactly where it's from. We're guessing it's 4th, 5th century. Very old. And in it, describes the idea, and I'll let you read it if you want. describes the idea that the Chachamim, the Tanaim got together. And they said, what are we going to do? So who are the Peritzim? The Peritzim were the early Christians. And they were Jews.
Jews.
Now, there was a real threat, Amash, threat to Yahadut, to Judaism from this group. They were growing in numbers, and people were following them. Chazal got together and convened and said, what are we going to do about them? So they got together a plan that somebody has to infiltrate Christianity. And Shimon HaKalpos, who was a Tana, was appointed to be the one that's going to infiltrate Christianity. And he made a deal with them that they had to guarantee him chelik le'olam haba. And that's a whole other discussion. One time we talked about it.
We learned it, yes.
That the guarantee him chelik le'olam haba. And according to the story, he infiltrated Christianity. He became the bishop of Yerushalayim. And ultimately, he became the Pope. Which Pope? Peter. Saint Peter. Saint Peter is Shimon HaKalpi. And what did he do? He started moving Christianity away from Judaism. He established their day of rest not on Shabbat but on Sunday. This is the story that says here. So now the Jews see a stark difference between Christianity and Yahadut. Because before it was all mishmash. They were still celebrating Shabbat. They were still celebrating many Jewish customs. They were attracting Jews. He was trying to break them away from Yahadut. So he switched Shabbat to Sunday. He switched their alphabet to a Latin alphabet. He wrote their books for them. And this is Peter. His name was Shimon HaKalpos. And the day he died, all Bnei Yisrael mourned his death, but he saved us from Christianity. Now it became a non-Jewish religion, no longer a Jewish religion. He broke us all from Judaism. And the day he died, we celebrate. He died on 9th. It says clearly here, I'll read it to you from Todot Yeshu. Vayamot Shimon, vayitablu bnei Yisrael et Shimon, and they mourned him. Vayikveu yom mitato lihitanot lechol shana v'shana, and they established the day of his death as a fast every single year. V'hutet yamim beyerach tevet, the 9th day of Tevet. So clearly it says they established it as a fast from year to year on the 9th of Tevet. Now, I want to show you that this manuscript is not just a manuscript that's in the 4th century, that our version of events, you should read it, it's fascinating, our version of events, what happened with Yeshu. But in reality is, Rashi also had this manuscript. Rashi, the commentator of Gemara, who lived in the 11th century, also had this manuscript. And Rashi quotes it to explain the Gemara. The Gemara here describing all the holidays of the Romans. Because halacha is, you can't do business with pagans 3 days before their holiday. Because they might get a good deal and buy something. And bless, or say a blessing in the name of their Avodah Zarah, of their idol. So Chazal goes there, you can't do business with Avodah Zarah, pagans 3 days before their holiday. So one of the holidays was Yom Ginusia Shel Malachim. So the Gemara asks, what is that holiday? So the Gemara says, the day that the pagans and the Romans would celebrate the new king. They would all praise their gods and so on and so forth. The Gemara asks, no, we learned that day is that was a separate holiday. That's not the holiday of Genusia. The Gemara says, no. It was the day where they appointed their sons as king. That a reigning king was able to what? To appoint his son as king, that was a great celebration. While he was still alive. That's the holiday. Man asks, but did the Romans ever do that? It was never a Caesar son who took over. It was appointed by the Senate. There was never children that took over the reign of the father. So who did that? The Gemara says, a pasuk in Ovadia, describing the Romans. You, the Romans, are a nothing nation. Bazui atameod. You're disgraced. Ovadia says, what's the disgrace of the Romans? Shem lam loktav velo lashon. The Romans have no language and no alphabet. The Gemara says. Now, one second. They have no language and no alphabet? What about Latin? What language is that? Latin is what? What's the Latin, Yankele? It's a Roman language. Latin, our alphabet is Latin alphabet. It comes from Latin. It comes from Rome. What do you mean? Tav lashon. So that she says over here. Tav lashon shel romiim. The language, the writings, and the language of the Romans came, it's not their own. They stole it from another nation. Others wrote all their books for them. Others wrote their books? We have thousands and thousands, go into a library, thousands and thousands of Latin books. What in the world is she talking about? See, the problem is this part of Rashi was cut out for generations and generations. It was censored out. But there's a much bigger part of Rashi which was censored out. But we have it today. And I want to read you the Rashi. K'tav v'lashon acharim tiknu lahem. What does it mean that the language and the writing and the books others wrote for them? He says, Kol sifrei ta'otam, all the Christian books, all the Latin books. Yohanan, Jonathan, Paulus, Paul, Peter, Petru, wrote them. Behem yohimayu, they were Jews. John, Peter, Paul, all Jews, wrote their books. And they were ma'amik in Lashon HaKodesh, and they created the Greek letters.
The Roman letters.
Why? V'asu lahem hevel l'chashvam bifnei atzmam l'salkam me'al Yisrael. In order to remove them, separate them from the Jewish people, you don't have a Jewish alphabet, you have a Latin alphabet. You don't have a Hebrew language, you have a Latin language. Not that they were kofrim. They did this for the good and benefit of the Jewish people. They show the Jewish people tzar and dochak from the students of Yeshu. They made themselves as if they're with him. And they did all this as explicitly said in the story of what? Toldot Yeshu. So that she quotes this Toldot Yeshu, this account.
The Toldot Yeshu, the book, what year is this book?
It's nowhere to be found in print. There's an old manuscript that was found. We lost the manuscript, but we have somebody who will put it into writing in 1705. It says, Nusach Yochanan Yaakov Holdricho, that's what we have. And here's the story of Toldot Yeshu. So, and it tells you all this. This is the Christian, the Jewish version of early Christians. That Judaism infiltrated early Christianity to separate, wrote their language, their alphabet, their laws, to separate them from Jews, and now they become a Christian religion. Yeah. So that was religion for non-Jews. The Jews left them because you went too far off beaten the track, and they were able to spread amongst the non-Jewish people. And who saved us? Shimon HaKelubi. He was the Tana that infiltrated Christianity and he was Saint Peter, according to this account. So why do we fast the ninth of Tevet? Because he died.
Reasons.
Because he died.
And he saved the Judaism.
And he saved Judaism from this calamity that was brought by Yeshua and his people. And Now we know why Chazal couldn't write it. When mourning the death of a guy of Saint Peter who infiltrated Judaism, Christianity, and turned it, yeah, you can't publicize that.
Politically incorrect.
The sages didn't tell us why, but now we have to look. Yeshu, there's a possibility why. So we have three reasons why we fast on 10th of Tevet. Either because Ezra Sofer died, Malachi, the last Nebuah, left the world, which is for sure a reason. Possibly, Yeshu was born, and we're mourning his birth. Or Shimon HaKelupi, who was the Tana who infiltrated early Christians and put him astray.
Is Peter what?
Saint Peter. He's Peter.
Last time we have the class, he borrowed a book.
Well, I didn't have a chance to go to Rice University to get the book. That's why I just have a photocopy.
Yes, I brought the book in the last class.
All right, from Rice University. I didn't have a chance to go to Rice University to bring you the book. That's a different story. That's Nittel, yeah. That's the story of these 3 days. Chet, Tet, and Yud, Betevet.
We take a Sabbath.
And those 26 fasts, Efa Muskarim?
Megillat Tanit also, not found in the Gemara, it's found later sources, the Geonic period. Hmm. 7 days. It was which seems like was a minhag of the early the Jews in Eretz Yisrael.
The 26 fast. I mean,
Megillat Tanit.
Megillat Tanit.
Yeah, Megillat Tanit. The scroll of the fasts.
Chazak u'baruch.